This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. Before we get to Nick live here, I want to go back to the moment on the sidelines. This was an interesting exchange and a great moment from Sunday. The audio has come out. Nick with Saquon Barkley. Eagles obviously had a big lead, consideration of pulling starters out. Saquon with big numbers. Let's listen on the sideline as the audio has been released by the NFL. Nick Sirianni and Saquon Barkley 2 days ago.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
That's great stuff, man. That is great stuff. It really is. All right, let's talk to the head coach of the Eagles. They're 4-2. And, of course, Nick Sirianni brought to us by, as he is every Tuesday at this time, by Bud Light. Pre-game with Ava Graham. Ava Graham at Saloon 151 in Westchester this Sunday before the next game. Of course, next Eagles game. Win tickets to a home game and Eagles merchandise. The aforementioned 4-2 head coach of the Birds, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Nick. So, Nick, a moment like that, Saquon reacting that way, we heard you post-game fired up. I mean, what he has brought to this team, if you could just talk about, holy mackerel, on the field, off the field, I mean, he just seems like a superstar player and human.
Yeah, he's before you even talk about the play, you just talk about the teammate, the person, the work that he puts in. There's a reason he is who he is, right? Success is not an accident, and you see it firsthand. But great teammate, you heard it right there. Had an opportunity to set his career high of rushing yards, probably against a team that he really wanted to do it against. And wanted the other guys to go out there and finish the job and get their carries and get their touches. So that speaks a lot about him. Obviously, his play thus far this season has been awesome as advertised. He really broke out in last game and really had a play that helped us break out on offense that got us going. And just can't say enough about the person, can't say enough about the player. Can't tell you how thrilled I am that he's an Eagle.
Nick, let's talk about this win in the context of you. And I am going to predict that your answer is going to be no, but I'm going to ask the question because I'm fascinated. Did this win mean more to you personally? Not for the team's record, which we know a win is a win, but on a personal level, when you're in the eye of the storm like you were last week, does it mean more for you when you get a win in that context?
Yeah, you guessed it. No, it's every game's so important. Every game is we're going out there and putting everything we have. It's such a unique sport because you put everything you have into it for an entire week. That's a lot of work that goes into it by a lot of different people. And, you're obviously devastated every time you lose. And when you win, you're thrilled. And then it moves on to the next one. And so you always try to stay in the moment. Always want our players to think, hey, how do I be in this moment? How can I control the things I can control? And that's my work and that's my attitude. Mm. And that was the only thing that was focused on. And I know our team was as well.
Well, how does it make you feel that your team showed the world that they have your back on Sunday?
Sure. I mean, those are things during your all the relationships that you put in to, and all the time that you put into connecting and being part of a team. I think that this team has each other's back, right? Forget my back. This team has each other's back. And that's because all the time they spend together, through practice, through hanging out together, through off the field, through on the field, competing against each other. And so, and that's something that you're always trying. And that's what's so cool each and every year, is you're trying to gel the team together, and that's what your hope is, because you just want to make sure you're playing better football as you continually go through the year, and that and the team and the connection is a big part of that. And so you know, I just felt like it was a good week for us. We had our best week of practice.
Second turnover-free game for Jalen back-to-back. Why exactly was Jalen turning it over less? That was great to see.
Yeah, I obviously have a big emphasis on that, and Jalen's playing good football and, taking care of the football. It's really, you know, you talk every week about the double positive. We talk about that every week. Did we win the explosive play battle, and did we win the turnover battle? Well, for the ball carriers, the guys, you know, like Saquon and AJ and Kenny Gainwell, like when they get the ball in their hands, that's what they have to think of is how do I secure this ball? How do I, you know, all those different things. Well, Jalen is responsible for creating explosive plays and taking care of the football as, oh, by the way, these 300-pound guys and Dexter Lawrence, 300 whatever, he's huge, is trying to come down and crush him while he's trying to read a defense who's trying to deceive you. So his job is really difficult as far as, you know, the quarterbacks are one of the hardest positions to play in all sports, in my opinion, the hardest position to play in all sports. And so, you know, we want to be explosive, which we were, and we want to take care of the football, which we were. When we are able to do that, you know, I know so much is put on him when we have a turnover, but when we're able to play turnover free, I mean, that's so much credit goes, it's a team sport, but so much credit goes to Jalen because of all the things he's asked to do on each and individual play. So I can't tell you how pleased I am with him and how he's taking care of the football. And you know, you're only as good as your next game, so we're on that next game and seeing how Cincinnati takes it away and what we got to do to protect it against them as well.
Nick Sirianni here, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick, let's talk about two first half moments that I thought were tone setters, and I just loved it. The Saquon run on your first possession, he doesn't get the first down, but he does everything he possibly can to get as close to it. It reminded me of Walter Payton. He's just banging through dudes. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And then Cooper DeJean, basically the same kind of thing on a punt return. I mean, it was just awesome. Can you describe what that does for a sideline when they see their teammates fighting like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I know this team is physically tough. Right, and I know that we're mentally tough, and I know we play with relentless effort. You're always talking about identity and, what our identity is as a football team. And one thing I know is that I know this is a close team, and I know this is a team that is just a physically tough team. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that. Where can you put your physical toughness on display? Well, you put your physical toughness on display, you know, when you have a combination block to the linebacker. You put your toughness on display. You know, there's a play where the tight end slices across and tries to block BG, and he knocks him back and puts him into the ball carrier. Put your physical toughness on display with how you tackle. Well, as a ball carrier, you know the running back, you know, puts his toughness on display when he has the ball in his hands and what he does on the sideline. You know, some guys will.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
step out of bounds, and some guys will, you know, put their shoulder down and finish a job for extra yards. And that is, and AJ had one like that too. It wasn't like where he had to lower his shoulder, but they were ripping at the ball and he got 5 extra yards. And so, like, those are moment, like, when you pride yourself in being a physically tough team, those are things that really, you know they're going to be shown in the team meeting on Monday. And those are things that really get the sideline pumped, because it's like, hey, I mean, this man tried to tackle that man and he got pushed back. And that's what's so awesome about this game is, you know, man versus man, and Saquon and Coop on the sideline finished and got extra yards. And, you know, Saquon got about 5 extra yards. I think Coop got about 10 extra yards. That's a whole first down. That's a big deal. And so we talk about that a lot, and obviously it brings a ton of excitement. You know, I think even when the defensive guy does it, it brings more excitement, right? Because defensive guys don't have the ball a lot. When you watch Coop's return, you look at the sideline, and I see Slay, like, jump off the bench and just sprint over to it. And it, like, for whatever reason, it brings a lot of excitement. I really wish Saquon's hit on the sideline was on our sideline. I think it would have brought the house down there, but it was on the opposite sideline. But, you know, like, it's a great question, because it does bring a ton of energy and juice to the sideline.
Nick, what's one thing you can do differently offensively this week to focus on starting faster?
Yeah, obviously that's a big, that's a big thought process for us, and we're dedicated to do everything we can possibly do to score early, score in the first quarter. We'd love to score on that first drive, and so, you know, those are things that you go through throughout the week, and you want to do plays that you feel like have the best chance to succeed, so you can get started fast. Every game's a little bit different, and one thing that you think is going to work, the defense's focus is on, and then you got to adjust. I think it's just, you know, what do we do to start fast? And again, like I said, I can't give away all the secrets that we're searching, right? We're searching for it, because we haven't been good. It's been 6 games and we haven't scored in the first quarter. So, that's always going to be us putting, as coaches, putting them in positions to succeed, and the players executing. And so, that's going to be on our mind. You know, our first and second down plan will be on our mind. And then we're going to, you know, just like always, we're going to talk about, you know, which ones of those first and second down plan plays can go in there for the openers to ensure that we get off to a hot start.
Nick, similar question, but flipping it to the other side of the ball. What about turnover generation? I don't know if that's the right phrase, but generating turnovers defensively. I mean, you know, you've had 3 phenomenal defensive performances this year at the Saints, obviously the Browns game and the Giants game. But for the totality of the season, 6 games, only 2 turnovers created. And that hasn't gotten as much discussion by us as the offense. How do you get that going?
Yeah, you know, it's just got to constantly be on your mind. I thought we had a really good week of practice last week. As far as taking it away, and you know, that's something that, you know, I take a lot of pride in with the ball is, you know, with every team meeting that we're in, we're focusing on that. And so, you know, having that same focus when we're over there on defensive side, and as myself as the head coach, focusing on that as well. So we put a lot of emphasis in there, and we had a lot of turnovers at practice. But this week, we had one come out. Jalix forced a fumble. We had one on an interception. You know, I'm not sure Daniel Jones would have thrown that ball if he didn't know that we were offsides there. But, you know, I think that our mindset's in the right place. Practices look right. And I kind of compare that sometimes to sacks, where it just kind of, you know, it blows open when it blows open. You know, like, obviously these last 2 weeks with our sacks, we've generated a lot of sacks. And we're putting in the work to ensure that we have some success here. But make no mistake about it, we got to coach it better and we got to execute it better, because we got to take the football away. And that's a big emphasis that we're thinking about. And sometimes, you know, I think you can think about that and sacrifice the tackle. You can do both. You can be a sound team tackling while also taking the football away. And that was, you know, we've made some major strides in our tackling. I think they showed me the stat. We were 7th in the NFL before last night on missed tackles. And so, you know, it's got to be the same emphasis there on the ball.
Nick, are we a running football team?
Damn right.
Yes.
I think you saw that, you know, anytime you go over 200 yards rushing, you can say that for sure. I think that we've been able to run, since I've been here, we've been able to run the football efficiently. And it goes in ebbs and flows, right? You know how it goes. Sometimes the box is stacked and you got to be able to throw it. Mm-hmm. And I have so much faith in our Jalen and our receivers and our tight ends and to be able to do that when we need to. But in this game, all right, you do what you need to do to win the football game, right? And that's in this game it was about the running game. And I don't know where we are ranked in the league. I would assume we're pretty high after, you know. But anytime you go over that 200-yard mark, and I don't know how many times we've done that since I've been here. It feels like a lot. But it's just this great feeling when you're able to do that. And so I think we can, you're right, definitely. We're a running team. But we have the ability to do both things. And the game will dictate that. And we'll try to dictate that. Like you don't, mm-hmm. you know, you're on offense for a reason. So to try to dictate things at the, to the defense. So, but I'm so confident in our offensive line. Right, I didn't even talk about them. Like regardless of what level of football you play, the games are won and lost up. It starts up front. And I can't say enough about our offensive line. Lane Johnson, one of the best players in the NFL. One of the best players I've ever coached, that's for sure. Landon Dickerson, what a great player. Cam, and then the guys that stepped in, like Fred, and Makai's playing really good. And then Fred Johnson steps in and has a nice game. Tyler Steen steps in and has a nice game. And it just feels like, obviously this game presents itself with injuries. And it just feels like here, I can't say enough good things about our offensive line and Howie and how he's put together the team. And, we've had guys step in an offensive line and win big games throughout my tenure here. A lot of credit goes to Jeff Stoutland. All the credit goes to the guys, though, of how they prepare and get themselves ready. And so when you got the guys that we have in the room, you can definitely run the football.
Nick, congratulations. Two wins in a row, and we look forward to seeing you guys Sunday in Cincinnati. Good luck in that ball game, Nick.
Hey, and John, we played some fullback football.
I saw. That's awesome. Lead ISO all day, baby. Blow them up.
All right.
Stay well, Nick.
Awesome.
All right, see you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.